Sister Cook, we're so glad you're here this weekend, and he's going to be preaching and teaching and ministering and worship and song, and I love having them here, and I don't know how many years in a row it's been, but I just hope it's many more, and we've been in a season of revival, and our young people have been to North American Youth Congress this week. And I'm just excited about revival continuing on today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want Brother Cook to come. I am going to step out. I've got to teach a small part in First Steps today, and I'll be back. But we're going to turn the service over to Brother Cook right now. And let's just believe that God's going to do something special in all of our lives today. Amen.
Lord, everyone. The Lord is good. Amen. Thank you, Pastor McCoy. God bless you. You may be seated today. Privileged to be at Harvest again among friends. And this is, to be honest with you, one of my favorite sessions of the year. Not because I'm the one teaching. I've told you before, it's just a pleasure once in a while as an evangelist just get to slow down a minute and not have to go 100 miles an hour. Just look at the word of the Lord. Now, I don't promise I won't get going to 100 miles an hour. It's hard to look at the word of the Lord and not get excited. Amen. But it's a delight to be here with you, Pastor McCoy and his family, our many friends across this congregation, Brother and Sister Long, wonderful. He's an old friend. She's not old, but he's old. He didn't even know what day it was today. But it's a delight to be here with all of you, and welcome. If you're a guest today, we're so happy you are here, and the Lord willing, here in a little while, we will sing and worship and go to the Word again, but this session, we just go straight to the Word, and so we're honored to be here today. I want to take you to the third chapter of John, the Gospel according to John. Praise God. Forgive me, I'll be up and down off this stool again today. Still hadn't got these back issues straightened out, so hope that doesn't hurt your feelings. But if I stay up all the time, it'll do more than hurt my feelings. But John chapter 3, I always say this, very rarely do I not say it, makes me think. I do it to remind myself. The Gospel according to John. That's what it says here at the start of the book. The Gospel according to St. John. It's not John's Gospel. It's just the Gospel according to John. Many writers saw the same miracle, shared little different viewpoints. It was according to their understanding. So it always provokes my thinking. The Bible tells us that we are epistles read of men. Modern day language is, we are the only Bible some folks will ever see or read. So it provokes my thinking, and so I say it to me. You don't have to listen. But I wonder what folks think about Jesus if the only gospel they could read is the Gospel according to Stan. I want them to know that he's wonderful. I want them to know that he loves them. I want them to know that he cares. I want them to know that he's a miracle worker. I want them to know that he's great and greatly to be praised. So some of what I give you today will be black and white out of the scripture. Some will be the gospel according to Stan. Now that you can take or leave. But this word will never pass away. Amen. So let me read just a few minutes because I know we got to get out of here in about 30 minutes. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Boy, they had weird names back then, didn't they? You can be seated. You stood up. I read a little bit, and now we're going to... Here's a good old country word for you. I'm going to meander my way through here for the next little bit. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and old Nick came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We're coming, we won't read much more. Jesus answered, or he said, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind, somebody say the wind, bloweth where it listeth, or where it wants to. And you hear the sound, but you can't tell where it came from. And you can't tell where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So I want to talk to you today, to us, through the word of the Lord will help us. On this, let me share it this way. I read one time of a man who was at retirement age. He had a son that was a grown man, was very successful at business. Y'all okay out there? If I start boring you, just yell at me and I'll scream louder. But his son was successful in business, and it became the man's birthday or Father's Day or something. And so the son sent him a card. And he told his dad, I want to buy you something special. And so he said, don't fuss with me. I can do it. I'm blessed. And so he sent two pictures. He said, I want to buy you a brand new boat. And he said, here's two boats. You pick which one you'd like. One was a fancy speed boat. Best motor you could buy. It was sharp. The other was the best sailboat you could buy. Now, when you come from, I don't know how many folks were born in Missouri. Anybody here today born on the coast of this, either coast, like anywhere close to the ocean? Where was you born? Texas, the Gulf down there, especially near water, but especially on the East Coast. It's more of an East Coast thing because of the history. But now when we think sailboat, we think this little old bitty thing got a bed sheet on it, you know, and just bobbing along out there like a kayak, you know. But when you travel the country, and I go to Maine every other year, when I think sailboat, I think sailboat. They are massive. And they are no cheaper than the power boats. In fact, I've sailed on some of those big three-mast sailboats, and I've watched those men pull and to bring those sails up. And so when I say sailboat, I'm not talking about, $300 or $400 little thing. I'm talking about a massive boat. So he said, you just let me know which one you want, and I'm going to buy it for you. Well, this dad, he said, I don't want my son doing that. You don't have to do that. So he didn't call him back. Long story short, son calls him back, said, I told you to let me know. And he said, I'm going to buy it, so you might as well get which one you want. End of the story was, the dad says, all right, if you're insistent, I appreciate it. But before I can answer your question, I have to know one thing. And he said, son, or dad, what's that? He simply said, is there any wind? Is there any wind? I really want the sailboat. But a sailboat without wind is useless. The wind, Jesus said, blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I have found through study that if you look in the scripture, and if you look it up in Hebrew and you look it up in Greek, the word spirit means breath or wind. Both a breath of air and a breeze are appropriate images for the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, whichever you like to say. I tend to say Holy Ghost more, but it's the same thing. Both are scriptural. I need to prove it. Bible said, if you being carnal know how to give good gifts to your children, how much does your heavenly Father want to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So Jesus used the term Holy Spirit. He used the word Holy Ghost. So we don't want to think there's two running around. Hello? One Spirit. We were all baptized into one body. By one Spirit. I'm kind of a throwback, I guess. I use the term Holy Ghost more. But probably there are times I should say Spirit more, because people today think Casper is a ghost. And that, I want them to just simply understand the Holy Ghost is simply the Spirit of Christ. Hello? We're not talking about little ghosts dancing around. Who you going to call? Oh, y'all ain't supposed to know that. We're not talking about that. God is a Spirit, John 4:24. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That is the one, and I don't have time to get off on all that because I'm not a great teacher. I'm just a great big one. But the hardest thing, the biggest hurdle in my mind, and I'm not a scholar, just a student, but the folks who cannot understand and has not been revealed to them the oneness of Christ and the oneness of God is they keep trying to put a body on God. And the only body God ever had was Jesus. Because God is a spirit. A spirit does not have flesh and blood. Hello? You can't see a spirit. So is everyone's born of the Spirit. You can't see the Holy Spirit. You can only see the effects of what it's done or what it's doing. So when we talk about a breath or a wind, we are talking about the same thing as the Spirit. Now consider the wind. Are we all right? I'm trying to stay nice and prim and proper today. I don't know if the guys that normally do that, do they get excited during this session? Okay, so I'm boring, right? The wind is moving air. Fresh air is continually needed for life itself. Even pollination and seeds require wind for their dispersal and growth. And similarly, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God, which is the source of all life. Remember how it all started. And he breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. He was just a bunch of dust until the breath of God moved in him. And here we are thousands of years later, and we still aren't nothing but dust unless the Spirit of God is working in our lives. Last time I checked, most men, and I don't mean to be cruel or unkind, but right before they put us down in that earth, they still say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. This body will decay, but the Spirit will live on. And the Scripture said, now I'm getting ahead of myself because you want me to get excited. The Scripture said, if the same Spirit that dwelt, that raised Christ from the dead, dwelleth in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body. That's why we sing, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of that ground. Cause there ain't no grave. It's not because my body, but it's because there's a living, thriving Spirit. Glory. We got a Spirit that's going to live forever somewhere. Got my foot pressed up. Glory. You know, I started to say I don't do a lot of heavy preaching, but I preach it. The Lord's been working on my spirit about a little thought, not planning to preach it today. I use a lot of humor. I love to life. I love to visit with people. Y'all know that. And I think that's okay. But one of these days when the Lord leads, it's a simple thought. It's not a profound thought, but it's a provoking thought. And it's simply this. At some point, but I'll ask you to try it out on you for size. This will be the title, and it will be in the form of a question. Which one of us in the building is the closest to eternity? Which one of us? You can't just go by age. So that's not an automatic qualifier. All you got to do is read the obits, and you'll find infants, you'll find teenagers, you'll find people 100. You'll find people today, and I say this in no other way but in a kind way and in a sad way. You'll find people today's name in that column that yesterday were just going to Walmart. So who is the closest? How can we tell? How can we discern? And it's a simple answer that the Lord gave me. The answer is simply this. Every one of us. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the truth and fact is every one of us are just one breath from eternity. But I want to tell you something. When this body takes its last breath, that may be it for the body. But there's a spirit that lives inside this earthly tabernacle that you can't kill that spirit. Because you see, brothers and sisters, not only do I house a human spirit, but I have received the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit, and you can't kill God's Spirit. And I would not sit here today, because we have our all, I guess the difference in me and some, I'm just straight enough to tell you, ain't none of us got how all that's going to work out, figured out. Hello? I don't know how all that change is going to happen. I just know we shall all be changed. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. I just know that they're going to come from every kindred, tribe, and nation, and tongue. The sea will give up its dead. We that are alive will not prevent them which are asleep. None of this in my notes, so I got to hurry. I'm just telling you, on that resurrection morning, when the last trump of God shall sound, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life, because there's been some wind deposited in me. There's a spirit in me. All right, I got wind. The Holy Spirit is the source for all life. He breathed into Adam. He became a living soul. That's why another location, it simply states it as plain as you can get it. In Him I live and move and have my being. I'm nothing without Him. But consider the wind this morning. It's 12:28. Jesus, help me. Consider several properties of the wind. Wind has no shape or form. It's invisible. Cannot see the source or the destination. It's a mysterious, unseen force. Nevertheless, its presence is visible by its effects. Likewise, the Holy Spirit can be experienced in a refreshing way. It is displayed in the work that it does and by transforming lives. Teaching, leading into truth. I see people, over 1,000 this week, receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It will start teaching them, transforming them. And you can't see it. You just see the results. Are the effects of what it's doing. But it's working. The wind is powerful. Can I get a witness? Cannot be stopped or controlled by people. Likewise, the Holy Spirit is not subject to human control. The moving of the Spirit is God at work. But think about the wind. There's great variety in the wind. That's what I like about being an apostolic. No two church services are exactly alike. I mean, my God, I thank God for the wind, but I don't want every time I go out, it blows my toupee off. I don't have a toupee, I'm sorry. Hello? How many... My dad doesn't, he's not a fan of the wind. And he's not contrary. But he just hates it to be so. I mean, wouldn't it? I like the wind. But I don't, how many would like to go out every day and the wind's blowing 60 miles an hour every day? No. That's the good thing about the Spirit. There are times the Spirit begins to move. And sometimes we need a hurricane force wind. Sometimes we need it to shake us. Sometimes we need it to stir us up. But sometimes I walk into the house of God and I need the gentle breeze to cool me, soothe. Am I being ridiculous to you? Sometimes just a soothing breeze. You come in out of the effects of this world and you walk in, you sit down, they begin to sing and you say, oh. That's refresh. That's the pause that refreshes, not Coke. Hello? That's false doctrine anyway. If there was anything to that, it'd be Mountain Dew. But the wind, listen, we must understand the wind, the breath of God, doesn't always operate the same. Sometimes it may gently bring a person and woo them to Christ. Sometimes it may be in a more dramatic way to bring conviction to a hardened sinner. But I won't tell you this Sunday morning, afternoon. See, Brother Law, I'm getting old. His old age rubbing off on me. The fact is, sometimes it blows hard. Sometimes it's a gentle breeze. But the truth, ladies and gentlemen, is we can ill afford to be in an assembly or even live a life where there is no wind. Acts 16, Lydia, the Lord just opened her heart. But then later a jailer needed an earthquake to jar him to his spirit. But in both cases, the Holy Spirit did the work. So it's no shock to me. And I got to move along because we only got about 7 or 8 minutes here. But it's no shock to me. Oh, I'm glad to see you, Pastor. I think. Because I know they'd rather hear you preach right now. You've had people the last 5 weeks counting this one. They're so sick of evangelists, they don't even believe it's in the fivefold ministry anymore. Thank you, Jordan. But it's not a shock to me when it all started by him breathing into man and him becoming a living soul. It's not a shock to me that when the church was started, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound out of heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It all started with God's breath, and the church started with God's breath. And if we're still going to have any success as a church, we've got to have the wind of the Holy Ghost that moves among us. So the question remains, is there any wind? Doesn't matter how beautiful the sailboat is, if there is no wind, it's the wind that propels us into the cause of Christ. Ooh, glory. I must hurry here and finish up. Can I read to you just for the sake of, I know these are ye's and therefores, and I've got in other versions, but I just read this one. But can I take you back? The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel said, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of a valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Listen now. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise. Isn't it wonderful when there's a little rattling going on when you preach? Hello? Even at the mortuary. Hello? So he prophesied. As he prophesied, there was a noise. There was a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And he said, when I beheld, the sinews and flesh came upon them, the skin covered them, but there was no breath into them. Then he said, prophesy unto the wind. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, O breath, and breathe upon these, that they may live. So I prophesied, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. They were not an army until breath of the Spirit came unto them. I trust I don't have to qualify. I'm among friends. I shouldn't have to qualify that I preach truth. And I believe truth, but it takes truth and spirit. Spirit and truth. You can preach truth. The Bible said the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. And you can preach truth and still have just a bunch of dry bones sitting around in the house of God. But I'm telling you, I want to know, is there any wind to go along with the truth? Does the wind blow? And when God sends the wind, he's able to take dry bones and turn it into an army. I'm telling you, that's what happened this week. The wind blew, and an army has spread across this continent. But I'm not preaching in St. Louis. I'm preaching in Springfield. And there's an army right here. There's an army in this house that if you let the Spirit move upon you. Just stand with me. Let's go ahead and stand with me. 12 times in the Spirit, in the New Testament, rather, it speaks of people being filled with the Spirit in the sense of it taking control of their activity. We've heard it many times. We are so adept, me too. We say, we have the Holy Ghost. But the real question is, does the Holy Ghost have me? Is there any wind? I close today. None of this is new material. Zerubbabel, it's not by might. It's nor by power. But it's by my Spirit, saith. Pastor, I want to be a part of a church where the wind is blowing. I didn't get into all this, and this is I wanted to. I shouldn't have to qualify. I'm among friends. I love good singing. I love services that are prepared. I love stuff that's quality. I don't think it glorifies God to be ill-prepared and haphazard. Not well presented. But you can do all that. And if there's no wind, you're not going anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit can revive and make alive even the deadest situations. It can renew even the coldest soul. We simply need the wind to blow in our personal lives. Many of us need it to blow in our families. We need it to blow in our churches. And God knows we need it to blow in our nation. Sometimes it appears like it's a long way across the lake, but we can get there if there's any wind. I get it. I get it that there's a consumer-driven base that they go from church to church, seeing what can offer. I get that. And we ought to do our best to offer as much as we can. But in my opinion, it's just mine. The wind bloweth where it listeth, remember? You can't see it, where it came from and where it's going. And I've seen them come in. They used to bigger churches. They may be used to fancier churches. But I've had them look me in the eye and say, I really don't know what it is, but I felt something. And brothers and sisters, that trumps everything. So let us be a church where the wind blows where it wants. It don't want to just blow on the first two rows because they've been to Youth Congress. It wants to blow all through this house. Would you lift your hands right now? Ask the Lord to blow. Let His Spirit work in you. Just let it blow for a second.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For that wind. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Cook. Appreciate that. We're looking forward to our main service at 1 p.m. Let's take a little break and come back ready to worship the Lord. God bless you.